Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we wish to continue our studies, which we have entitled Further Studies in Selected Psalms. And the psalm which we would like to consider today is the 51st Psalm. And if you have your Bibles near at hand, you may wish to follow us in the reading of this Psalm of Repentance. The divine caption at the head of the 51st Psalm reads this way: To the chief musician, and these are David's words, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone in to Bathsheba. One of the saddest episodes in Scripture was that of David's sin. We read of it in the 11th chapter of 2 Samuel. The armies of Israel were out, and Joab, the commander-in-chief, was out with the armies of Israel. But David did not go out. He ordinarily did go out, but this time he tarried in Jerusalem. And one evening, while he was walking upon his roof, just looking over the countryside, he looked down and he noticed a beautiful woman bathing herself upon her house roof. David sent for the woman. Her name was Bathsheba. And he brought her to the palace, and the result was of that meeting, they both committed adultery. Now, the armies remained in a field for some time, and Bathsheba sent and told David that she was with child. Now, this could not have been by her husband. He was out with the armies for some length of time, and David knew that the child was his. And so David sent to his commander-in-chief, Joab, and he sent to him to have Uriah, the husband of Bathsheba, slain in battle. And he told him, put him in a dangerous spot when you attack the city, so that he will be slain. And Joab did it. It was the edict, it was the command of the king. And as a result, Uriah died. Now, we pick up the story from the Scriptures in the book of 2 Samuel, in chapter 11, beginning at verse 26. And when the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she mourned for her husband. And when the mourning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house, and she became his wife, and bare him a son. It was David's son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. And then there was some time that David would not get into the presence of the Lord about this matter. He thought maybe it would blow over. Nobody knew that Uriah's death was by reason of David's plan. Nobody knew that, and he was ashamed to admit it. And he would not go into the presence of God. I suppose he was afraid of God or ashamed to go into the presence of God. And he just kept this sin within his heart. And he had a guilt-sized complex, a king-sized, pardon the pun, a king-sized guilt complex is what we're trying to say. Now, he writes the psalm. But let's see why and how David was made acquainted with his sin. He had a prophet by the name of Nathan, rather. And that prophet was devoted to David. And we read in the 12th chapter of 2 Samuel these words, And the Lord sent Nathan unto David. And he came unto him and said unto him, There were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. He tells David a parable. David listens. This was his prophet. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing, save one little ewe lamb, which he bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd the dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb. I suppose the poor man was in debt with him, in debt to him, rather, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger, and remember, please, David was a shepherd. Now Samuel found him as a shepherd before he anointed him to be king, and David was a good shepherd. David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he sent and said to David, Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. He was the king, remember, please. David says, this man is going to die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing, because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would have moreover given thee unto such things and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with a sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. We read down in verse 13, and David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. He had condemned himself, you see, when he took sides with the poor man whose lamb was taken against the rich man. He condemned himself. You know, that's good practice, to condemn yourself. It's a good practice to be brought before God considering these things. I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. How gracious. David committed a sin that was guilty of death, but God spared him. Nevertheless, we read that Nathan also the prophet told David, behold, I will raise up evil against thine own house. I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto the neighbor, and they shall lay with thy wives in the sight of the sun. Thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before this sun. Verse 10 reads, now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. And then David writes this psalm. Let's get to the psalm quickly. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me truly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. That was the king-sized guilt complex. He couldn't put it out of his mind. Against thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shaken in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. David was admitting here, I was born with a sinful nature. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. This was the practice used to cleanse the leper and bring him back into fellowship with God. He was purged with hyssop, and he would be clean. And David says, I'm a leper. I'm a moral leper. And so he pleads with the Lord, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear the joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord. His heart broken with his sin, but you know God forgave him his sin. And we read in the 55th chapter of Isaiah, and it's wonderful there to read it. I think I shall just read it now. seek ye the Lord while he may be found. This is verse 6 of Isaiah 55. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. You don't think I'll forgive you. You don't think that I can forgive you. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I'll forgive you. I think of the story of the prodigal in the New Testament, who left his father and went into the far country, took his share of the inheritance, and lived in a licentious life, spent up his father's money on harlots, and sinned grievously, and he hired out to a man when he had no money and his friends wouldn't come to his rescue. He hired out to a man, and he said he came to himself, and he says, my father's servants are better off than I am. I'm going back to my father. And he went back to his father. Do you remember what happened? His father saw him coming down that distant path, and he ran to meet his prodigal son, and he threw his arms around his neck and kissed him and said, bring forth the best robe. This is typical of the way that God receives the repentant sinner, the sinner that comes to himself and meets the sober fact that he's a sinner and that he's proved it by his actions. But God says, let him come to me. How can God do a thing like that? To forgive the prodigal? To forgive David? Let me tell you why. He gave his own son to die for our sins. He gave his son to go to that cross and suffer for you and for me. He loved us to that extent. Oh, the wonderful story of the love of God. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And God is waiting, just waiting, for the repentant sinner to come to him and say, I've sinned. I need to be cleansed. I need the water of purification. I need the blood of Christ to wash away my sin. And oh, that will be the happy person that faces the facts and seeks the forgiveness of God, that loving heart. I trust that this broadcast will move some to do that same thing that David did and receive David's blessing. Our Father, today we pray that those who feel their need of you will seek you out and make you their own. Make Christ their own Savior, we pray in his name. Amen.